Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hello and welcome to the Red Men TV. It is the Uncensored Match Build-Up Show, and today we are sponsored by the Football Index, where you can become a football trader on the football stock market. Put your football knowledge to the test, and you can gain money off the back of it. If you want to find out more, click the link in the description. But Football Index kindly donated £1,000 for us, and we're building up our portfolio as we speak, and we'll bring you an update on that later on in the video. And anything we make on the index, we will be given to a Liverpool charity, so thank you to them for that. Let's hope we make a lot of money for charity. Obviously, you have to be 18 plus and you have to be in the UK to take part, and you've got to gamble responsibly. Anyway, we are here for the Uncensored Match Build-Up Show. Today, I'm joined by Ragnhild, one of the founders and owners of Hotel Tier, which everybody will know because you'll have seen the videos online. I'm joined by John and by Georgia for this one as well. So let's start off, Ragnhild. We should probably make it a little less interesting this week than against West Ham.
Yeah, hopefully we've got the sand out of between our toes now, and we can crack on after the break properly. Watford isn't really happening at the moment. They haven't won since 1st of January. But saying that, they have had some strong results against the best team. So they drew against Arsenal. They drew against, I think it was, Tottenham. They won 2-0 over Manchester United. So maybe they are in a position where they only motivate themselves for the best teams. So who knows?
If you were Nigel Pearce and John, you'd hope that's not the case given where they are in the league table. Because these guys, 19th in the league now, admittedly only a point behind Aston Villa, who are 17th. They need to be up for every single game, and they've got to come at us, even though in recent history,
it's not looking great, is it? Because when his first game was at Anfield, wasn't it? And they played really well. Mm-hmm. And I thought, well, he's going to get them away from relegation zone pretty easily. And yet they've slumped back into it. So maybe it is that they do play better against better teams, which is not a good thing for us, is it? But I'm fairly certain we'll beat them.
Out of the last eight times we've played them, we've drawn once, which was the 3-3 at the start of the season. Was it 2 years ago now? The first away game of the season, it was 3-3, wasn't it? And we conceded a silly one at the end, really from a corner, if I remember. I've got a feeling it was the first game when Milner wasn't playing left back, and we changed our zonal marking scheme, if I remember correctly. And I think it was Moreno or Wijnaldum was in a different place. Regardless, that was ages ago. Since then, we've won 7 on the bounce, or given in and around those fixtures. So we've really had the number. We've actually scored more goals against Watford than any other team that Jürgen's faced. I think I've got it down here, 27 goals, Georgia, in 9 games under Jürgen Klopp against Watford. That's actually incredible, isn't it? And Mane and Salah seem to have a field day against them each and every time as well.
I think as well we'll be fortunate that we're coming in off the West Ham game, because it's a similar sort of fixture in the sense, league position and type of team and things like that. So I think it will be, like you said, less interesting and things. It will be, the motivation will be there to let's put this to bed early, or at least, a lot through it. Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's it, isn't it, Georgia? When you've come through a game against West Ham and you've struggled a little bit to get over the line, you're not going to take the next game for granted, are you? You're going to come out the blocks firing.
Yeah, it's what we said, though, about, after the Atletico game, of, it's good for us to lose, which is odd. It's good for us to have that kind of test against a sort of easy game to give people kind of not be complacent, to give them a kick up the backside type thing. I think as well, we say Watford do well against big clubs. Watford just need to do well, because I think, like we were saying about Norwich, 3 points is so important for clubs like that to stay in the Premier League for another season, and that will be their main aim. I think to just think that it's going to be a bit of a rollover will be not giving them the credit that they deserve.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I'll tell you what then. Next, I think we need to talk about Liverpool and how you thought they played a little bit against West Ham Ragnhild, and you know, what can we learn from that performance? I mean, did it look to you like we were lacking a little bit of rhythm against West Ham?
Definitely. I don't think we played with the tempo we normally play. We didn't really look like we were on fire. We were probably thinking we can easily get through this game, and we didn't really sort of put on our best performance. Also, I think we missed Jordan Henderson immensely. He does fire up the lads a lot more behind the scenes than we realise on the stands. Yeah, so all in all, you know, it was okay, but I just think we lacked a little bit of concentration. Yeah.
And would you be changing anything going into this game? I think the big debate is probably going to be around Keita and Oxlade-Chamberlain, who takes that other midfield spot.
Yeah, well, I thought Keita was very disappointing, wasn't he? And it's this old argument, do you give him a run of game to try and get him up to speed, or, you know, can you not afford to take the chance? I think Ox deserves a shot, given how well he played when he came on. And it's funny about Henderson, because you asked me in the match, do you think we've missed him? And I said, I don't think we have, because at that moment, I'd never thought about him.
Yeah.
And he'd not come into me thinking. But I realised, really, that Keita wasn't a great substitute for him, was he? You know, there was a big gap between what Henderson would have done and what Keita was doing. Mm. So I think Ox probably deserved a shot. You know, at least he came on with a lot of energy, and he knew we needed to score goals, so he was always on the front foot, wasn't he?
And that's the thing for me, when I think about it, and I talk about, you know, Keita and Ox, such different styles, aren't they? Yeah. You know, one of these guys is sort of, Keita, he's a bit enigmatic, he dribbles in such a seemingly strange way to me. His head's up, he's looking for passes, he's not looking at the ball at his feet, and he's dinking past players, and, you know, he seems to show up like a phenomenally, on the stat sheet. When people are in the ground, they're so divided on him as to whether he's had a good game or a bad game. Whereas Jordan Henderson, you know, universally now, we're talking about him like he's having a good game every week. But then you bring Ox on. Now, did he perform because they'd been softened up? They were a little bit tired towards the end of the game? They'd been chasing us for large portions of the game? Or did he perform because it was the directness that he plays with that opened up, you know, the spots during the latter part of the game? Would it have worked in reverse? Would Ox have struggled for the first 60 and Keita come on and the game opened up? What do you think?
No, I think good players generate confidence around them as well. And I think Keita at the moment, because he hasn't still completely adapted to the tempo in Premier League, he's more sort of in the Bundesliga still. And probably also because he hasn't had enough games to adapt, really. I think because he was losing the ball, it just sort of generates worse performance on the players around him as well, because their confidence drops as well. So I think when Ox came on, that raised the confidence and the level of performance around him as well, because he was so good. And as you said, you know, he generated so much more energy and better passes and raised the tempo. So I think if he had started, I think it would have looked differently.
Okay, well, we've got a little bit of an update, as promised at the beginning of the show. We're going to go and have a look what Paul's doing with our portfolio and see how much money we can raise for charity.
Hello, everyone. It's time for the Football Index update. As I'm sure you know by now, but I'll explain anyway. They've given us £1,000 to build a portfolio. The proceeds generated from this will be going to a charity of our choice. Things were going splendidly. Things are going slightly less splendid at the moment. Now, we are still up. We are currently up £32.82. However, if we look at our portfolio over the last 24 hours, we're down 0.4%, which is 380. Over 7 days, that's 1%, which is minus £10.07, which obviously gives us our current total. The big culprits here, the obvious ones to draw attention to, is Mohamed Salah. Who's down, despite the fact that he scored at the weekend, his value's down to 394 from the 412 we picked him up for, and Neymar is down significantly as well. That's where we're taking the biggest hits. We're actually minusing them, but I think what we're doing across the portfolios is just been a little loss of value. Trent Alexander-Arnold's not quite at the heights that he was a couple of weeks ago, which again is, you know, is interesting because he picks up two assists in the week. I think Trent's going to pick back up again. Look, Trent's going to be a phenomenal footballer. He's going to get better week on week. I'm going to hold on to him. But I think we might have seen all we're going to see from Kai Havertz for the moment, because a lot of that was based on transfer rumours. They'll pick up later in the season. But now, for the here and now, I think we need to start getting some numbers up there. Neymar, I wasn't happy. That was your choice via a bowl. It's not worked out. The question is, do we hold on for the second legs of the Champions Leagues and then make the changes, or do we move things on? Kurt Jones has been our big success. I'm definitely going to keep him until the FA Cup, and then I think it'll be time to move him on, because I don't think he's going to get much football after the FA Cup game against Chelsea. Oxlade-Chamberlain's doing really well. Joe Gomez is doing really well for us. But I think, yeah, I think I'm going to let one of Neymar and Kai Havertz go. Let me know in the comments section underneath, or tweet us at the Redmen TV, which of those two you think it should be. We've seen how high we can get. We can get back there, but I do need your help. I do need your advice. So yeah, keep that advice coming in, and we'll be back with the latest update next week. Cheers.
So there you go. Hopefully Paul will be making loads of money for a little charity of our choosing. John, there is also a little bit of a chat to be had about Adam Lallana, who seems to have gone missing from the first team over the last few weeks. I know James Milner missed training on Wednesday, so he's probably not likely to be involved in this game. Would you think about Adam Lallana in this type of a game?
Interestingly, until you mentioned him, I hadn't thought about him at all. He'd totally gone off my radar. But he's been like that all season. He's the forgotten man, and then suddenly he appears and he plays well. I mean, he's a good player, isn't he? It gives us... He is one of those players who gives you energy, because he's always moving the ball on really quickly. So he is a good alternative, but I do think he's down the pecking order now. And I think the fact that he's probably going to move on, you know, says a lot about where his position is at the club at the moment. So I think he's more likely to play against Chelsea.
Would anybody pick Lallana in this game? No? Shake of the head?
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
No.
I think it's different styles, though, like you said. Like, Ox and Keita are so different in their styles. And I think that was the thing against West Ham. I think the way the game was going and the type of game it was and the way West Ham were playing, was Ox suited that a lot more than Keita did. I always feel like he suits kind of European nights a lot more in that type of football. And I think against Watford, I think, again, Ox will be the more likely one who kind of shines in that environment.
I must admit, I think it's got to be Ox. I think, you know, I was a little bit surprised that Keita got the start. I can understand Jürgen probably wanting to get him game time, like you said, Ragnhild, before. And, you know, I think he probably does need a run of games, and that's what makes me doubt myself. Because I know what Klopp's like sometimes. He likes to give them a chance to prove themselves. He's not going to throw the baby out with the bathwater just because of a poor 53 and a half minutes or whatever it was when the substitution was made. And Ox, but Ox, on the flip side, he played so well covering for Mane on the left-hand side. Then I thought, well, he's got to keep his place in the side. You know, a bit of meritocracy goes a long way sometimes, doesn't it? Then he comes in, grabs the game by the absolute scruff of the neck. And now you're thinking, how can you drop him now?
Exactly. I mean,
he changed the game.
And especially against the teams who will fear Liverpool as much as Watford will, they will park the bus more than some of the other teams. And with Ox, he creates that you can't really predict what he's going to do because he's got so many options. He can shoot from a distance, he can dribble his way in. So I think he's a great player on defensive teams, with underdogs.
Yeah. I think as well, just what you were saying about Keaton not quite adapting to Premier League, you forget how long Oxlade-Chamberlain's been in the Premier League environment for.
Since it started. He's been there since 92. I think he was playing since Southampton at the time.
He was the second youngest player to start. Yeah,
it was like him and Walcott were like sort of
16 years
he's
old.
He's been there, and he's been, whether he's been playing or been training in a first team Premier League environment since he's kind of hit what
puberty.
Before
his voice dropped.
Yeah. He's started a lot of games recently, hasn't he? Which and he's it's paid off because he scored goals as well. I think he's in one of his best runs of form, even from his Arsenal days. So he's well worth having in the side now while he's hot.
And it's so impressive also, being away for that long, to manage to keep the motivation and actually make that motivate you even more instead of taking you down. He missed out on so many amazing experiences with Liverpool last year. And
that's what he's fighting for now, though, his own little piece of that history, isn't he? So, and I must admit, I think that will be the lineup. I think he does go with Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain in the middle. I think it's pretty easy. The rest of the team, the back five is the best back five in maybe Europe right now, maybe the world. The front three's up there with the best strike force in world football as well. And we just keep changing parts in that engine room to keep it fresh and keep everyone buzzing over and ticking over and stuff. Are there any other changes anyone would make? You know, with an eye on Chelsea in the cup or.
No, I think Chelsea's going to be what's left.
Substitute bench plus.
When we first heard the draw, I thought, oh, that's going to be a really tough game, that, and he might well go with a stronger team. But, you know, Chelsea have got a lot of injuries, so they're not playing their best team at the moment. So I think he'll take the chance and he'll give the second string a good run out, because it'll be full of first team players, just not players who are playing regularly at the moment. So.
Do you think there's anything, John, where, you know, when Liverpool get into a rhythm and, you know, it's game every 3 days, game every 4 days, and the team just seems to, the passing seems to go a bit crisper and a bit smoother, and
to Klopp, he always says 4 days is fine, 3 days isn't. 4 days is what you need to recover from a game to play the next one. If it's 3 days, it's not the same. And the sports scientists are probably telling him you should rest these players and rest their, you know. So I think this one is too soon. If it had been the day after, I think he may well have gone with that, you know, the rhythm. But I don't think he will.
So then it will be a case of Bournemouth, Atletico, same size.
Yeah.
Mm. Okay, I like that.
I think as well with the rhythm, just from experience, is when you are playing with the same kind of people or you're in training and you know you've got that game coming within a very, it does tick over, and it can work the opposite way. Obviously, if you hit that bad run of form, then it carries on. But you, when you're seeing them people a lot more than you're seeing your own family, it becomes that kind of environment where you're working and you're so focused on what you're trying to achieve.
Yeah, I know, I agree with that. And obviously, we normally do a little segment on rival fixtures. Ragnar's first time you joined us for the build-up show. We've got no rivals anymore in the Premier League. We kind of sacked that segment off a little while ago. I think when we got to about 16 points ahead or something, we just stopped talking about the other sides. But Manchester City playing the Carabao Cup final against Aston Villa on Sunday. So the lead could go up to 25 points, which is just ridiculous. I mean, is it done?
Oh, yes. Of course it is. I mean, we don't have to hold our breath anymore. We only need to win 4 more in, 11 rounds, if I got my stats right.
Yeah, but I don't even think we need to win 4.
No,
because I don't think City will beat us when we play them. And that means we actually don't need that extra game. So.
That's true.
So it could be. I was saying this to Roz earlier on. We could actually win it, but not know we've won it.
Mm.
We have to keep on playing until more points are dropped by the opposition.
You do want there to be a game where you win the league, though, don't you?
Yeah.
And you want it to be home.
Yeah, Anfield, I want it to be at Anfield. I mean, people talk about it and they're like, Goodison and all that. It's like, you know, the joy of being with 50,000 other Liverpool fans. Yeah. I would never change that for the world. I want it to be at Anfield. I
want it to be
able
to watch the game.
That was what was so special with Aguero and QPR and things like that, was the atmosphere and the things like that that it created. Like, it wouldn't have been the same if it was the other way, but... I'd rather be at home.
That was a mad one, that, and I hate talking about that. But we were talking about that in the office the other day, like greatest Premier League moments. And I think two or three of the lads who work behind the camera was like, that's the greatest Premier League moment. And I was like, no. Collymore closing in and Newcastle 4-3, that's the greatest Premier League moment. I don't give a damn about someone shouting about Aguero and then winning the league. Great moment, admittedly, but not my favourite moment. Sod off, Aguero. You've won enough now anyway. So we're going to do score predictions. I'm going to start with you, Georgia. What do you think the score will be?
4-0, Liverpool.
4-0?
3-0.
3-0?
I'm going for 4-0 as well, actually.
4-0 as well? Mm. Okay. I'll go 3-0 with John. Girls, boys, let's see who's right on this one.
14-0.
Girl power here.
That's good, isn't it? And so preferred 11s, is everybody just picking Ox, by the way?
I would, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
With Wijnaldum and Fabinho?
Yeah.
It's quite easy, really, isn't it? I think Jürgen probably doesn't have as hard a job as we all think. He's got a great squad. He's got a great starting 11. And that has been the Uncensored Match Build-Up Show for Watford. Before we go, though, Ragnhild, I introduced you poorly at the start of the show. I forgot to mention that you're actually an author of a lot of Liverpool books.
True.
But there's something else that you're doing as well with International Women's Day upcoming. Do you want to tell the audience about it?
Yeah, well, published my first book, which was an official Liverpool book. I promoted it by flying ex-players in to do book signings with me, and then we funded it by doing supporter events at night. And I was just surprised how many females that would show up on the book signings and the events. And I thought, why can't we see that reflected on the members who are like members of the official supporters club in Norway? I lived in Norway at the time. Because when I checked it out, it was less than 8% of the members who were women.
Mm-hmm.
And they asked me to become a board member for the Norwegian branch. This is 10 years ago. And one of my first things that I wanted to do was to do like a campaign to encourage more women to become a part of our supporters club and our family. Because obviously there are so many benefits of being in a supporter branch, you know, with access to Anfield and discount on merch and wonderful magazines and all the stuff that a supporter branch can offer. And I thought it was strange how the girls were not a part of that. So we started Live Girls Norway. We made a Facebook page to create a platform where the girls could be on their own, so they didn't have to fear people criticising their opinions or patronising them or quizzing them about if they knew the offside rule and all the stuff that we girls get, that you lads never get.
I'm glad no one asked me the offside rule. It's just assumed that I know it. It's changed that many times over the years. I'm not up to date on it anyway.
Well, see, there you go. So we started this Facebook group, and then we created trips with girls only once a year. And these trips have been incredible. We've had women from girls from 14 to 74 on the trips. And I'll never forget this lady. She was in her 70s and she just bawled her eyes out when she came to Anfield because she'd never, ever had the chance to go. Unlike me, a lot of girls out there, not just in Norway, but all over the world, feel a bit lonely as Liverpool supporters because their girlfriends don't support or are not just as crazy about football as they are. And they don't feel as a part of the lads, so they feel a bit sort of isolated. And that's not the case with me. I love traveling to European away games with the lads, but that's not for everyone. So, and I love going alone to Anfield and sit in different seats and chat to different people. That's one of my favorite hobbies. But that's not for everyone. Some girls need support, need someone to go with. These campaigns have been incredible. All these friendships have been built over the 7 years we've run the campaign. So this year I've decided, well, I've worked on this for 2 years with Liverpool Football Club to bring this campaign to an international level. So we're now starting Liver Girls International.
Okay.
We want the whole world of female Reds to come together on digital platforms such as Liver Girls International on Facebook, but also on Twitter and Instagram. So we have platforms where they can share their passion, ask questions, meet friends.
Go to the footy,
meet up for meals, travel together. But it's also a campaign to empower girls, because when you feel that you're not alone and you have people to discuss football with, you'll get more confident. And one of my sort of side ideas of this campaign is also to create a media picture of supporters that are a little bit more diverse, because a lot of the time, this is great, two of four girls in the studio today, so well done to Redmond TV. But a lot of the time, if supporters are being interviewed after Premier League game, you will see a fat, drunk...
Please say
middle-aged man.
I'm sorry, don't turn up that often.
what about the interviewer?
Well, exactly. So that's the other side. You know, I want more girls to dare to say yes when media approach them. I want more media to ask girls of their opinions, and I want more girls to create to choose a direction as a football writer like myself, or a football pundit, or work in the industry. It's terrible to call football the industry, but it is. So that's the whole idea. So
International Women's Day
is coming up the day after Bournemouth. So we are making a huge party to celebrate all the wonderful female Reds of this club. A chance for them to strengthen their networks, their platforms, their friendships, their confidence if they need that, but basically have fun together, meet new friends in a surrounding that feels comfortable to everyone, both the tomboys like myself and the girly girls. So we are having a fan zone garden party with live Liverpool supporter songs from 2:30 at Hotel Tia in 21 Anfield Road, which is 200 metres from the ground.
Everybody will know where Hotel Tia is by now anyway.
You're very welcome if you are a girl any age. and then I'm hoping that most of the girls will wear a red dress or pants or whatever, top, or keeper green, just because it will make spectacular photos when we then move on to Anfield, the stadium, 6 o'clock for reception of bubbles in the executive lounge. And then we'll have a little tour to the boardroom and go behind the scenes, you know, treaty girls. You do.
I'm not squeezed into a little red dress in quite some time.
It's going to be
just tie a belt round a triple XL Liverpool shirt and off I go.
I've got the
Beyonce arse already. That's coming with me free of charge.
Well, I am going to look for beard studs. I will look for beard studs when you show your tickets. We will have special guest speakers, motivational guest speakers. Peter Moore himself, the CEO of Liverpool, is talking. I think someone from the LFC Women is coming. The incredibly inspirational Lizzie Doyle, producer of the award-winning Anfield Rap, is coming to talk. I'll be hosting it, and there will be a very special Liverpool legend. It's a surprise for now, who's going to come and join us as well. And we'll have a wonderful dinner, and then you'll have George Sefton, the voice of Anfield, as our very special DJ.
Lovely.
So we can dance the night away with George, which is just incredible. So it is making history from the fans to the fans.
Brilliant.
Some proper girl power. And we hope that this can create the start of a movement throughout Premier League. All the clubs, all the top flight international clubs. Think about the girls, encourage the girls, welcome the girls. Because, you know, it is England's biggest girls' sport. It's Norway's biggest girls' sport. Football is about to become the world's biggest girls' sports as well. So we can't forget them. But this isn't a campaign for women's football. This is a campaign to support the female supporters, whether you like men's LFC football, women or the LFC men's.
Brilliant. Well, we'll put the link in the description where you can buy the tickets and stuff like that as well.
That's great.
Sunday the 8th of March, 2:30. You have to be there, is it?
Well, anytime. It's free. You know, the fans all mingle is free for anyone. You don't need, well, all the girls, you don't need a ticket for that. But 6 o'clock, we walk over to Anfield for their reception and the dinner.
Cool. Mm. Brilliant. That sounds
absolutely
brilliant.
You need to come.
You interested, Georgia?
I'm free on Monday.
Brilliant. Well, there you go. Thank you very much, Raganel, for coming in and talking about it. If you are a female Liverpool fan, the link is in the description. If you fancy it and you can make it over, I'm sure it'll be brilliant. We're going to catch up, I think, a little later on in the year in Vegas, maybe, Raganel?
Oh, yes. That'll be so much fun.
Can't wait for that.
You know, I've just started planning now that the grand finale, the show on Saturday.
Okay.
We're going to do a Champions Night. And it's going to be a journey throughout, you know, the successful years of Liverpool with songs along the way and the different legends talking about different sides of winning mentality and the European night. And, it's going to be so special.
And most importantly, what happens in Vegas
stays in Vegas.
So there you go. Thank you very much for watching. Don't forget to like the video, subscribe to the Red Men TV. We'll see you next time. Ta-ra.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.